masculine and feminine, self and other, that allow us to hide from our own knowledge. Again, that's Susan Griffin, Sustainability and the Soul, Thursday, April 9th, 7 p.m. in the Sanctuary, 1211 Southwest Main Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Tuesday nights on KBOO, it's Cubby Cushy, Cubby Cush.
With DJ Anjali and the Incredible Kid.
10 p.m. to midnight.
2 hours of global bass featuring Bhangra, Bollywood.
And the urban sounds of the global diaspora.
You done north!
Cascadia. Today is Tuesday, March 31st, 2015, and you're listening to KBOO Portland, your community radio at 90.7 FM, kboo.fm on the web. Our guest today, Josh Laughlin, is the director of Oregon Wild. One of the plaintiffs in a lawsuit against the Bureau of Land Management's White Castle logging project, essentially a clear-cutting effort designed to take a vertical forest worth far more standing and translate it into a horizontal forest worth a pittance compared to downstream in the long term what we need most of all, which is of course our air, our water and our land, and all of this sacrifice for money which will be pretty much vaporized and never seen again. Certainly, it won't make any dent on the economy here in Oregon. Before we get to that, though, a couple of brief headlines. Haroon Aswat, he was the mentally ill British chap who went to Bly, Oregon back in 1999. At the direction of Mustafa Kamal Mustafa, a double amputee and the radical cleric who Lynn Stewart was defending. His orders were to help train recruits who wanted to participate in jihad on behalf of terrorist organizations. Right, okay, so we've got a mentally ill man who is directed to go to a tiny place in the backwood of Oregon on the direction of a double amputee living in London. Oh, that makes lots of sense. In any case, he pled guilty and his trial now, of course, the judge ruled that sentencing would go forward because the defendant was under medical care and showing no symptoms. That means that he's going to be sentenced as would any other normal person. Right. And in Seattle, more than 300 people signed up to testify at a House Education Committee hearing on a bill that would require school districts to consider student test scores as a factor in teacher evaluation. So if a teacher, for example, is teaching math to a group of people who patently express their views on math, it's not fun, it's not interesting, it doesn't have a beat to it, it's not easy to do. So they therefore can easily take it out either deliberately, if they're clever, and completely by mistake, but if they're very stupid, and destroy a teacher's career. Some of the best teachers, the ones that make people work the hardest, and those teachers would be gone if this piece of legislation is passed up in Seattle. And in Omaha, Nebraska, BNSF has started taking additional safety measures. That's Burlington Northern and Santa Fe Railroad. Safety measures for crude oil shipments. Wonderful. That's just what we need. It's not the safety of the shipment that we're concerned about. It's the safety of what this stuff does to our environment once it gets loose. and fears of martial law of special ops are set to swarm the southwest of the country and operate undetected among civilians who've been deemed, get this, hostile. This is a massive military exercise, Operation Jade Helm. It's going to involve 1,200 service members. This includes Green Berets and SEALs, special forces from the Air Force and Marines. Seven southwestern states are going to find themselves overwhelmed by this military special ops on the exercise on the border. And it's not really an exercise. Brace yourself, California, Nevada, Utah, Colorado, Arizona, New Mexico, and Texas. This thing is called realistic military training. And on that note, let's see. The Army is telling soldiers to get security systems and not meet with anyone they've met online after ISIS leaked 100 military members' names. Of course, we know that. And it goes a little bit further. More of that story that we're going to have to post on our website due to, of course, more important matters to get to here, because we have Josh Laughlin with us to talk about the White Castle timber sale. If it had gone through, what it would have allowed happen to some of the most beautiful places, not just in all of Cascadia. Josh, thank you so much for joining us today. I understand that a district court judge ruled in favor of you and Oregon Wild, Cascadia Wildlands, and Jennifer Schwartz, the primary attorney, in this lawsuit. And fancy that, we're suing the Bureau of Land Management. Aren't they supposed to be the good guys? What's going on here?
Yeah, well, in its quest to ramp up older forest clear-cutting as a way to bail out struggling counties in western Oregon, the Bureau of Land Management, which oversees approximately 2.5 million acres of our public lands here in western Oregon, cut corners and violated the law, and a federal district court judge stopped this illegal clear-cutting project on our public lands just southeast of Roseburg. The White Castle project would have clear-cut approximately 160 acres of older forest on our public lands. This is a project that was proposed as restoration and masquerading as restoration, but really it was nothing more than an older forest clear-cutting project.
And this is a term we've been talking about on Cascadia, the use of the word harvest in the same sentence as the word forest occurs. This should never happen, ever. You don't harvest a million-year-old living creature. That can't be. Harvesting is for tree farms, and this is it seems to me the dirty secret is a managed forest is a tree farm.
Yeah, well, you bring up a good point. I mean, so much of the landscape here in western Oregon has been converted from complex older rainforest, these stately 400 or 500-year-old old-growth forests, and converted into even-age tree farms over the last 50 years. So we believe there's a real opportunity to restoratively thin these dense tree farms and inject some complexity, if you will, back into them while leaving the remaining native forests that have never been touched alone for their own intrinsic value, for the clean water they provide, for the pure air that we breathe, for the carbon storage they sequester, for a livable climate, and all the other values that Oregonians hold so dear.
So, what do they mean? This is funny. We're invoking the spirit of Raymond Carver. What do we talk about when we talk about variable retention harvest? This does not sound good.
Yeah, well, it's an interesting concept. It's being promoted by prominent forest scientists that believe there's a shortage of high quality young shrubby forest out there for young forest-dependent species like certain birds, moths, and butterflies. And we recognize that there could be more higher-quality young forest on the landscape for those species. On private industrial forest lands, for example, that, say, Weyerhaeuser owns, those are immediately doused with herbicides, so you never get that shrubby component coming back. You just have, conifers coming up. So there is a need for more high-quality early successional forest is what they call it, but we don't believe that should be created at the expense of our remaining older forests. There's no reason to be clear-cut logging our remaining older forests here on our public lands, lands owned by you and I and Americans. These are lands, again, that provide just a myriad of outstanding values at no cost to us.
Well, so it's just, everything about this timber sale was so repugnant in many ways, scientific and non-scientific, that ruling is certainly a breath of fresh air. When these things happen, when there are victories along the way, and this, of course, is just, we have to see this as the first victory and one of many there have been in the past and going forward. Does this set, how do these cases affect the future? For example, if there are other timber sales come up and other lawsuits to stop them, and indeed the whole credibility of the Bureau of Land Management should be at this point called into question, and what they actually their role should be. And I've got another question for you on that too. But setting precedent, does this affect future cases, and to what degree?
Well, it's a great question, and the short answer is yes. How it affects it is a little bit unclear. Keep in mind, currently, the Bureau of Land Management, again, this federal agency that oversees our public lands, is actually promoting a couple thousand acres of this kind of logging currently here in western Oregon that we're keeping a close eye on, places like the Coos Bay and Roseburg and Eugene BLM districts, more of this so-called ecoforestry or variable retention regeneration harvest, in many cases in older forest stands. So we're continuing to keep a close eye on that. Keep in mind, Senator Wyden has been promoting legislation for the 2.5 million acres of western Oregon BLM lands that are kind of hitched to this model of logging, this we call it clear-cutting light. Clear-cutting with leaving little patches of forest, and we don't believe that's in the public interest or in the interest of clean water, pure air, carbon storage, recreation, all the other outstanding values, again, that Oregonians hold closely.
And finally, in the last couple of minutes that we have before we let you go, we want to make sure there's plenty of time for you to let listeners know how they can support your work going, because we are going forward, and this is not the end of the old timber road, but the Bureau of Land Management and the timber counties. The timber counties have had 100 years to figure this out. Their education, their plans for funding education, the idea of depending on an industry which is not static, it is indeed in a state of constant flux and renewal and change. In the past, we had lots and lots of trees and not so many people. Now we have a lot of people, not so many trees. Revamping their means of funding education should be their priority. How did the Bureau of Land Management become involved in sustaining an unsustainable means of funding education?
Right. It's a pretty egregious approach to tie older forest clear cutting with essential county services like roads, jails, sheriffs, schools, and so forth. I mean, it's just a real outdated model to fund basic county services, and we really need to find a new modernized approach that's more balanced and doesn't rely exclusively on our commons, meaning our federal public lands, these magical old growth forests that inspire awe for millions of people, and to tie essential county funding to the logging of these last older forests is just ridiculous. And I believe, you know, there's a real opportunity to diversify. And
that that actually is now. We're gonna have to put put information about Oregon Wild, about this. This is really a huge victory that we ought to celebrate, and to definitely express huge gratitude to organizations like Oregon Wild and Northwest Wild and Cascadia Wildlands for their incredibly hard work on these things. This has been Air Cascadia. My guest has been Josh Laughlin with Oregon Wild. Thanks so much for joining us today. This has been Air Cascadia. Janet Anderson, engineer of the show today. Thanks, Janet. Kathleen Stevenson is the KBOM News and Public Affairs Director. I'm Chris Andre. Get the facts. Know your rights. Take a stand. Thanks for listening and stay tuned.
Today on a special edition of Flashpoints, we proudly present an encore broadcast of Pulitzer Prize-winning author Glenn